Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, ma'am, your child is haunted as shit. That's not something you typically hear from like a doctor or a physician of any sort. That's not a diagnosis I think that's given out. It's a diagnosis that one woman definitely wonders about. In our next story, we hear about a family that really struggles, wondering what is going on. It seems that there are a lot of paranormal things surrounding their daughter. Is it the daughter that is haunted? Is it something about her that attracts these entities and energies to her and the places that she resides, her room, her play places, things of that nature? Or could it be something with the mother, who also was once very sensitive and learned how to shut it off? Could the repression of these abilities and feelings be causing these unwanted occurrences that they're finding do not end when they move? Follows them house to house to house. It's a bit of a mystery. One I don't know if we're ever going to have an answer for. See what you decide. Take a listen. I started to feel things in my preteens. I became the ghost hunter of the family and the butt of many a joke. So to be utterly honest, I smothered this talent so that every family gathering that I went to, there wouldn't be any new stories for the family to harass me about. Most of my young experiences I have completely forgotten. One or two stick out in my memory, but otherwise I became a normal teen in the eyes of my extended family. My now teenage daughter has become a sort of magnet. I find this a bit disturbing, as we also have a 4-year-old who appears to have a firm grasp on things that have happened before, almost as if former existences had taken place within her timeline. He can give, in a 4-year-old way of doing things, timelines and such, as he has even warned us on occasion of things to come. Either that he is one of the world's leading storytellers, or there's something else going on. 9 years ago, when our daughter was 6, we lived in a mobile home park in Indiana. The houses are rather close together, so much of the audio phenomena we've discounted as to the proximity of other homes. In the middle of the night, running footsteps could be heard running down a hall, only in one direction, towards the master bedroom. While taking a bath in the garden tub, master bath off the master bedroom, I would have to cover the 8 mirrors that were above his and her sinks and countertop, walls, and even the glass in the door so that my daughter could actually play in the tub. If the double glass doors, heavy from a mobile home, were left open, they would have to be closed or she was not comfortable in the room. Our daughter's bedroom was in the front of the house, with her window facing out into the street. The neighborhood was quiet and, for the most part, trustworthy, yet she felt the need to cover up her window. She had a walk-in closet with sliding doors that would lift off the track in the middle of the night. Her bathroom had an adjoining wall to that room and was decorated very much like a little girl would dream of. A perfect bath, but she could not walk into it alone. We initially thought it was because the front door of the home was direct across from it. In fact, it sometimes was coming in front of the door. and someone was coming out of that bath, the doors would hit if they were not opened cautiously. Eventually, she opted to stop sleeping in that room. She could not give us a concrete reason for her not wanting to stay in there. She could only tell us that it was dark, cold, and it made her sad. If she had a friend over, she'd not take them into the room for more than a few minutes to choose toys. Then they would be out and playing in the living room. My husband decided that we needed to move. A new baby was on the way, and our daughter's discomfort was a bit much for Daddy to handle, I think. Approximately a week before we were to move into a three-story house in a different city, about 17 miles away, we were lying in bed in the master bedroom explaining to our daughter all of the new changes that we were going to have to deal with. There was a new school, friends, neighbors, practically a new life for a 9-year-old. We were just talking and looking at the ceiling fan, assuring her that we would not change, just circumstances. When the fan began to spin slowly, we checked the wall switch and the pull cord, and both were in the off position. There was no breeze going through the house at the time, and the three of us were the only ones visibly present. We moved to another city in Indiana, and things went smoothly for a while. It appeared as if our daughter was adjusting quite nicely to her new life and circle of friends. Our bedrooms were upstairs, ours at the head, our daughter across the hall, and our son was at the end of the hall, furthest from the stairs. Our daughter woke us up late one night and described hearing gunshots with the backfiring of a car coming from her closet. She had a walk-in, 15 by 80-foot closet that had been used as attic space by previous tenants, and as we moved in, while the reconstruction was in full swing, we attributed the sounds to echoes from the road bouncing off her almost empty closet, as she did not have enough clothes to fill the space and the carpeting had yet to be laid. Her room was always the coldest in the home. We gave her space heaters, electric blankets, put heaters in the hall, cranked the thermostat up during the day thinking it would warm it up. We had the furnace serviced and left all the doors open to maximize heat flow through the house. Our son's room shared one of the walls of our daughter's closet, and his door began to slowly shut itself too. I could never see anything behind the door, but it felt as if someone was holding the door and closing it while watching the stairs, almost as a child would if sent to their room and told that someone would be up in a few minutes to talk to them. This was a feat, as the carpeting was quite plush and it took a bit of muscle to shut it. As our son was still in the infant years, he was still sleeping in our room and not yet his own. Our daughter welcomed a new friend in her life that we never got to meet. She'd sit in the closet with the heavy metal accordion-style doors open, playing and talking for hours. In our son's room, his musical toys would start playing of their own accord. CDs and tapes would not play in that room. Radio would, but if we took the portable player in another room, it worked perfectly. She had reoccurring stomach problems, and at school, behavior problems were beginning to occur after choosing this room. While walking down the stairs to get ready for school one morning, she fell 10 of the steps, picked herself up on the landing, and promptly fell down the remaining 4 steps. When questioned, she said she felt dizzy and just lost her balance twice. My husband, 270 pounds, 5'11", body build of a wrestler, was shoved up the stairs. And on another occasion, someone actually left a hand mark on his ankle when they grabbed it as he ran up the stairs too quickly checking on something. We found him lying on the carpet as if asleep. Friends who stayed the night in the bedroom in the basement, direct line under the bathroom and our daughter's closet space, claimed to have their toes gently played with. They'd heard breathing when no one was there. Someone sat on the bed with one of our male guests, and a rustle of fabric was heard. A friend who stayed in our daughter's room while she was away for the weekend became quickly and violently ill and could not make it out of bed in time to be sick. She remained quite ill until we moved her into another room on the ground floor of the house, where all her symptoms simply stopped. I once was getting ready for work one day, and I finished the shower, came out, briefly spoke to my daughter before she headed off to school and returned to the bathroom. My husband was a stay-at-home dad at the time. I got a bit dizzy, almost as if he stood up too quickly, and woke up to my son crying and my husband on the phone explaining that they just found me on the floor. No medical reasons for any of us to be passing out. I asked a lady at work about house blessings, as I knew that both her husband and she are healers. With two of her associates, we sent the menfolk outside for a while and blessed the entire house with our daughter in attendance. She complained of feeling uneasy and said that the whole thing was creepy. few days later, I was told to watch her for signs of possession. Maybe it wasn't the house. Maybe it was my child. So I enrolled her in outpatient therapy with a psychologist nearby who was known for dealing with the unknown. The results were not what we expected. If anything, we had an increase in activity and no instruction on how to deal with them. So after 3 years of therapy, I took her out. 2 years ago, we moved about 4 miles away for reasons totally not related to the activities in that house. Now we live right on Main Street, and we're having just about the same types of experiences in this house. An insurance man came into the house and asked who lived in the attic. No one. It's an unfinished room that doesn't even have a full-length floor installed. The door opens on its own, and there's a hook lock on it. A friend was visiting with her 1-year-old, and she will not return. The baby came in and toddled past the attic door and played at a little desk we had set up. Within moments, the child became ill and threw up. We took her outside to play, and she was fine. We came in to get a bite to eat, and she wanted to sit at the desk. That's where she ate, and afterwards she started playing again and got ill. No fever, no new foods or drink. There was no known explanation for her illness. We got phone calls at all hours of the day and night, but no one is on the other side. One of the bedroom doors opens when no one is around. Music is heard in one corner of the living room where there's no radio and no speakers. We put things away for a time, find them in a place we wouldn't store them. Toys still go off. The alcove inside the front door is our computer room and is always the coldest room in the house. We've plexiglass up on the outsides of our windows, yet to be comfortable in there, we must run a space heater. I'm lost. I used to explain things away by saying it was just the ghost of the house, but if it is my daughter's energy, how do I fix that? She's 15 now. If she's a magnet for whatever, I need to know how to help her deal with whatever is going on. I closed it all off at an early age, so I'm afraid I have no way of showing her the ropes. If it is a ghost following us or different entities, what do I do to put them at ease? When we move again, what's to say these occurrences won't simply follow us and continue to no end?
Stories online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
East of the Pacific, making histories of Asian American art. On view now through August 16th at the Columbus Museum of Art. Featuring more than 60 works of artists of Asian descent, the exhibition explores how migration across the Pacific has shaped American art and culture. Experience the stories, perspectives, and artistic contributions that continue to influence our world. Don't miss East of the Pacific, making histories of Asian American art, now through August 16th. Plan your visit today at columbusmuseum.org.